Come, Holy Ghost, our souls inspire. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Please sit. I have such a deep and profound affection for the Anglican Communion, for the Episcopal Church. But I have to say, on a day like this, Pentecost Sunday, I think back with great joy of my participation in Pentecostal worship and charismatic praise. I think back with great joy of the opportunity to raise hands and shout Alleluia, to dance in the Holy Spirit, to hear people speaking in tongues and to participate, to hear God's imminency. But we are Episcopalians. But somehow, friends, that same Holy Spirit, well, it sounds far more powerful to say Holy Ghost, wants to work in us today as individuals and as a church. It has been said, go forth into the streets and evangelize, proclaim the gospel. Remember that the church was born to go forth that morning of Pentecost. Let yourselves be guided by the Holy Spirit with that same freedom. And please do not cage the Holy Spirit. Word spoken by His Holiness Pope Francis. And whether or not, as I've been told, His Holiness and this messiness share a physical similarity, this I know. We share the same theology of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is crucial, fundamental, integral to the life of the church and the Christian. We cannot run without Him. But all too often, He is being caged by the church. And how vigorous is that metaphor that the Pope uses? A roaring, dynamic, pacing lion caged. So that occasionally we may look at it with some slight interest. Do not cage the Holy Spirit. And yet we seem to abound in POPs, power plastic outlet protectors. You know, those things that go into wall sockets so that the children can't stick their little digits in and get an electric shock. And somehow, ecclesiastically, we have bought and we are using those POPs and we cover in the power of the Holy Spirit, lest our digits and our souls and our lives be touched by that electric dynamism. The words of the Pope are a clarion call. They reflect Paul's words to the Ephesian church when he says in chapter 5, verse 18, do not grieve, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So today, the Feast of Pentecost. But it is an understatement of classic British proportions to say that this day is generally overlooked, neglected, and ignored. Our prayer book doesn't even have an opening salutation for Pentecost. Our prayer book contains no final blessing. I had to go back this morning to find it in the English prayer book. And our hymnal has only 7 hymns about the Holy Spirit, one less than that mysterious, eerie festival of the Ascension. It's so eloquent. And yet today's gospel is one of 3 instances in the whole 4 gospels when we are told that Jesus is shouting, that he is crying out. And this is what he cries out. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink, and out of your deepest being will flow rivers of living water. Thank you, Jesus, but not today. How can we do that? Look at what's on offer. Water spirit that is fresh, vital, bubbling. Water spirit that is overflowing its rivers, and water spirit that reaches to the very depths of our being. As the word says in the text, kolias, bellies, meaning in the Hebrew mind, you cannot get more deep in somebody's life than that place to which the spirit wishes to go. To a profound extent, we need the Holy Spirit. And to an extent pathetic, poignant, London residents and London tourists need that spirit. Paul writes to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of timidity and fear, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-control and sound judgment. O God, lavish upon the dead and the maimed, the bereaved and the anxious, those who work to eradicate evil and workers of evil. Lavish upon these people the spirit of courage and renewal, of endurance, light and hope. Jesus shouts out, if anyone thirsts, come to me, drink, and out of your deepest being will flow rivers of living water. But how? First, we humbly acknowledge that we are thirsty people. That there is nothing, nobody, that can meet that deepest thirst that we have. And then we have to, and the phrase is often misused, we have to come to Jesus. And then drink deeply. But again, I ask, what does it mean to drink deeply? Now, this is not a sign of a misspent youth or later ages, but as I was thinking about this word drink, words, and you probably may, I don't know, but words of a Mario Lanza song came to my mind. It's a student drinking song. And I can picture, for some reason, the film, and the students are there, and they're swinging their tankards of beer, and they're saying, drink, drink. Drink. And then I felt slightly contemporary when I discovered that Aquafina Water uses the same song to press their product. This is the urgent, constant charge. Drink. And then I resorted to Merriam-Webster, the last refuge of the befuddled. To take in or suck up, to drink as absorbing air into the lungs of someone who has been starved of air, to take in or receive avidly, usually in the context of he drank in every word of what was being saying, to take liquid into the mouth for swallowing, to receive into one's consciousness, drink. And the Pope actually prayed that we would experience a holy intoxication. They thought they were drunk. And Peter, with sweet naivety, actually says, oh, they can't be drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, Peter. Yesterday, I had the great joy and privilege of marrying a couple who are Chinese. All of the people there were Chinese. A few spoke English. Now, as far as I know, Chinese culture discourages display of emotion in public. When it came to the bride's vows, in Chinese, about halfway through, she surrendered at last. And her lips quavered and her eyes became teary. And I looked around at her guests, and there were people there, stoic, motionless, but tears were pouring down their faces. At some point, friends, we have to surrender and allow God to do His work. Do not cage the Holy Ghost. Amen.